We are here at the Correlation Conference in lovely, beautiful San Diego, California. And look who's in the studio lounge, Mr. John Bretsakis from the Maryland DC Credit Union Association.
Yes.
That's a long one. A lot of letters in there.
Long way, yeah.
But yeah, it's all worth it though. Welcome. Yes, oh my gosh, good to see you again.
Better to be seen.
That's right. So before we get into, because you did a talk here, obviously yep. Just got out of it, but I want to ask you, how's the conference going for you so far?
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun to see people from over 30 some odd years of being in credit unions, right? So we're all kind of different places, but it just seems everybody's ready to get out and see people.
No doubt.
Everybody's ready.
Well, you hear about these conferences this year, they're all setting records for attendance, and you're like, okay, that's telling me something. People are really anxious to get out. Yeah, for sure. So good stuff. Hey, let's talk about your talk that you were here. It was entitled Regulation Yoga. All right. It's a good start. How to stay flexible in a regulatory world. So give us a quick overview and we'll dive into some details.
Sure. So what I talked about a lot was some of the things that are hitting us from a this avalanche of regulation, regulatorily, legislatively, the CFPB, kind of regulating by press release. You've got all these things coming.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you flexible to keep your head on a swivel to pay attention to all of these things that are coming at you and still operate your mission of serving your members and communities? That was really the message of what's out there, what's coming, what to take a look at.
Yeah, because this is a major deal for credit unions right now. It's always ever evolving. So you're really gonna, like you said, keep your head on a swivel and be flexible. All those terms.
Right.
So give us a couple of main key points that you talked about in your talk that credit unions can really use or any kind of practical type stuff.
So one of the things that we really focused on was about this idea of making sure that you have a seat at the table. Making sure your voice is heard. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So not to borrow from Hamilton, right? So be in the room when it happens.
Yeah.
So be where it happens, be when it happens. So credit unions are represented. There's a lot of things that are going on now, especially at state levels, with these fintech sandboxes and bringing fintechs into communities. But they don't have the same regulations, they don't have the same requirements.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're positioned at that table.
Mm-hmm.
So when those things are occurring, that credit union's voice is heard.
Right.
And that they have an opportunity to influence the discussion and the direction of where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's so important.
Okay, good deal. And so the benefit there, though, is having that voice and being able to kind of maybe control your destiny? Is that kind of a fair assessment?
Similar to all of the other advocacy we do, and I use this phrase from an old colleague, we need to have as many arrows in our quiver. So when credit unions are ready to shoot at a target and to look at a target, that they can pull that arrow out and go for it. And it may be crypto, it may be member business lending, it may be third-party capital, secondary capital.
Yeah.
It could be any of these things. But it needs to be, first, it needs to be discussed, introduced, and formulated by credit unions, not by the bankers, not by the ABA or the ICBA or anybody else. It needs to be ours.
Yeah, no doubt. Well said. Well said, sir. So what else are you seeing out there that kind of revolves around this topic that really affects credit unions today? I mean, because obviously, again, it's an ever-changing environment.
Sure.
So
I think a lot of it has to do with what are consumers asking for and consumer behavior, right? So consumer behavior is changing, and crypto is a great example of that. And I think credit unions need to be aware of what do consumers want and how to do it and make sure that it's done in a safe and sound manner.
Right,
I think
right.
that's what I'm seeing a lot of is people want to do it, but there's a challenge of maybe unregulated or lightly regulated players doing it, and then that's a challenge to credit unions.
Well, going back to your crypto example, I hear that a lot of people are saying if it's regulated, that gives it credibility because somebody is taking it seriously.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So, and then obviously you can't swing a cat without hitting somebody talking about crypto today. So,
yeah, exactly.
Anytime you have crypto in a headline, people read it.
People
are
reading it. And the challenge is, it's a reality. It's there. It's not going away.
Right.
But the numbers of fraud and all of that, those are very real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you don't want consumers getting involved in things without kind of a full disclosure of what the challenges are.
Right. And to have it come from your credit union,
Right.
There's that trust factor that we keep talking about in just about every conversation we have here. Right. You know, it's developing that loyalty, that trust factor. So why not have something like crypto offering it at your credit union a reliable, trusted source rather than going somewhere, Joe's Crypto Shack or something like that? I don't know.
Well, it feels like that.
It
feels like,
it's scary.
And it feels like there's every type of crypto coin out there.
Yeah.
You know,
oh goodness! Well, what else is on the on your agenda these days, especially in the Maryland D.C. area? What's going on in your neck
of
the woods?
Well, speaking of conferences, so we have our big conference coming up. We've got our big conference coming up on June 6th, 7th, and 8th
in
Ocean City. So, to your point about numbers, it's people are excited to get out and get ready to go, and we're going to be out there talking a lot about both things that we're talking that we just talked about, but really, you know, we've got. I think there's a thirst of people wanting to know just what's everybody else doing. Right? And the networking, I think, is the other piece. You can't underestimate how much people just want to network with each other. That's what we're looking forward to.
Well, and I've heard story after story of somebody just kind of sitting down at a table and then creating a partnership, like, on the spot.
Right.
I've heard three stories to that today.
Right.
Now, it didn't happen here, but it happened at other conferences, and I'm sure it's going to happen here as well.
Yeah.
But you can't replicate that in a Zoom environment, unfortunately.
No, you can't.
So
it's hard.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, there's Zoom fatigue is very real.
Oh, yeah. I
think the fatigue of people, it's not that they don't want to see you or they don't want to talk, but the number of times I've heard people say, hey, can we just do a conference call and not have Zoom, is increasing.
My eyes,
considerably.
My eyes. I'm so tired.
I'm just tired. So, yeah.
Oh, good stuff, John. Yeah, this is cool. This is really cool. So I'm so happy that you're here. Honored to be talking to you as well. Always enjoy talking to you.
It's always great to talk.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Well, good luck next month at your conference.
Appreciate it.
And appreciate your time as always. Keep up the good work there in the Maryland, D.C. area.
Thanks.